Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Theater Read Room. You've got your Omi Ika 7. I'm live here on a Sunday, and we are breaking in today because we want to reserve Sundays for a special occasion. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm normally on Tuesdays doing a segment on music and the brain, but I am going to be periodically revisiting our room, especially on Sunday, because now I know where the real church is. It's at home with the woman. So I've got to be a good example. If I'm going to speak to the churches about what their duties are, I'm going to also have to address the duties that I have about being a church. And I'm going to have to make sure that I set precedent. Because where is the church? Really, let's think about it. Where is the church, women? If we did not go into the temple, there would be no church. And our temples are the living epistles of a church. And I want to set the record straight about where the church really is. And just why does the black woman love the church so much? And if she would go home and be a living epistle and a temple to her husband, would her husband come in this house and she become the church? That's what our discussion is on today, ladies and gentlemen. And I want you to pick up those phones, call your neighbor, call your friend across the street, call your grandmother, call your elder, and ask them to pick up the phone and dial these digits, 646-478-0270. And in just a minute, indirectly, we will have a guest joining us to talk about just where is the church. And how do you build upon your individual temples? And if we are in the physical church so much, what is happening to our living epistles? Are they going without tentative structure? Are we leaving them to bear so our husbands are not being taught what the church should do? Because we're so busy making way in the physical church outside of our home. We're going to be talking about that in a minute, ladies and gentlemen, and just stay tuned and hold on to your hat because we are going to be talking about it today. Stay tuned.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to bring you back to our ceremony this morning. We want to do our libations, and we want to leave enough time for that. So I am going to be pouring libations, and later on we'll have a deep prayer for those Christians out there who need to have prayer, and if they have any types of needs, they can make their petition known. Let's go over to the throne of grace and standing in position that we're about to receive. Then we can begin to do the prayer and and a libation. I like to pour libation first to Oludulamare, who is representation of my higher self, who is God in my life. And that is the African name for God, Ashe. I like to pour libation for my mother spirit, Yamenye, which is Clara Jenkins, Ashe. I like to pour libation for my father's spirit, which is Obatala, Ashe. I like to pour libation to the east. I pour libation to the west. I pour libations to the north. I pour libations to the south. And I say, Ashe. I call on the name of my ancestors that are still yet going through the middle passage. I call the names of Clara Jenkins. I call the names of Robert Jenkins. I call the names of Essely Pope. I call the name of Clara and Ruby Jenkins. I call the name of Tommy Pete Harvey. I call the name of Michelle Harvey, and I ask the ancestors to regroup themselves so that we can become one great circle. And I pray that every family that has a need here today, that their needs will be met and they will be satisfied. In the mighty name, amen, of Jesus. Bye-bye. Hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to welcome you once again to our topic, and we are in the midst of talking about where is the church, and is the church the woman? Now, I have been looking at this question for quite a long time. I have been asking myself, in the times that we were building our physical church, most of the women volunteered to put the church together, and it was not the men who were volunteering to put the church together. It was not the men at all. It was the women who volunteered to go in early and to set everything up in the physical building and to also be ready for prayer and to bring the service in. Now, the preacher usually looked over to the woman for a lot of things, and I just want to make it plain today. There's no reason to lie about it any further, because the preacher pretty much sat back and allowed the woman to establish all of the order of service, and he literally just brought up the caboose. He brought the rear up with the sermon. Now, is that the bulk of the church? No. Now, all the fixings and the busyness throughout the church, is it necessary? Maybe not so. However, more than likely, the woman could have brought the sermon as well. She probably was just as prepared in preparing the lessons and doing the cross-referencing and research of the sermon. And sometimes she prepared the sermon for the preacher. Now, if the men are not faring well at home, and if the men are having a difficult time of adjusting themselves morally and spiritually, then that tells me something. If the society says that our men are acting out and they're committing most of the crimes, the black men, that is, and if they are most of the people who are outside of the realms of the law, then that tells me something. That women, we've got to work to do at home with our men. How can we do a better job of helping the pastor raise up the church when we haven't raised the church up in our own homes? It is very vital, ladies and gentlemen, that we raise up a church in our home. And how do you do that, you ask Omi? How do you raise up a church in your home? First of all, the same type of service that you want to conduct in a building, you raise up the discussion, the Bible study, and the full-blown sermon in your home. You eat up your own message first with your husband or with your significant other, and you role play it out with him and teach him at home. Just like the Bible says, the women ought to be taught at home. Well, I'm going to say the men ought to be taught at home, because some of them are lacking in spirituality and they're lacking in church, and they're not they are not getting an opportunity to hear these great sermons. So why don't the women go ahead and have church first at home? That's right. Am I asking you to stay at home to tend to your husband? Some of you might have to, or you might have to give them the sermon before you go to church. But you can't leave your man out of the picture and then go to church and be a better woman to your pastor, and your man is lacking a sermon. So what are you saying, Omri? I'm saying that you are the living Episcopal woman. You are the church. And it's very necessary that you act like the church. Do not pretend to do anything better outside of the home that you're not, first of all, doing in the home. Now, we've got this thing all mixed up. We go put on our best garment, our best dress, and fix ourselves up and get dressed up to go out to the church, to service the church, and to give them everything we've got. Then we come home, crawling in the door from being so worked out and overworked that we don't have anything left for our man. But you say, oh, but you didn't want to go to church, so you penalize him. So you disconnect him. You create animosity in your home because now your nose is in the air because he didn't go with you to that What-A-Ticket festival in the church or that that program in the church. So now he's punished. Now you and him are warring against each other because he is in competition for you and the church is in competition for you. So guess what? The man loses out. He gets angry. He leaves the home and goes outside of the home periodically when you're at church. So do you think he's getting a spiritual teaching? No. And the first thought of the day is to service our own homes and to do what we need to do first at home. But women, we create this problem. We create this because, oh, the pastor needs me. Oh, I've got to be there because the pastor wants me to open up with prayer. Oh, the pastor wants me to make sure that I have all of the Bible studies ready and the Sunday schools ready. We are so diligent to a man that doesn't even pay our bills, that lives outside of our home. And we look up at that pastor as being God. You've got to stop classifying God and your pastor as one. Your pastor and God are not the same. Your pastor is a shepherd who's been assigned to bring the word. But don't mistake him for God. You have to understand that when you neglect your husband, you're neglecting God as well. Because when your husband is providing for you and he is the one that is issuing out the funds to keep a roof over your head and to cover you and service you, the man that is servicing you and maintaining you becomes the one you look up to for direction. But some of you women have gotten so clever, you take every problem to the church and you tell the church everything about what your man is not doing. And you make it publicly. And therefore the pastor tells you things without your husband being in the presence of him. And you become evasive and standoffish to your husband because now is you and the church against your husband. And guess what? The husband doesn't love the church anymore. As a matter of fact, he starts to despise the church and everything that it stands for and represents because you have become aliens against him. That's right. Yes, you have. And women, you know I'm telling the truth because I knew there was a time that I was so deep in the church, nobody couldn't tell me nothing against the church, not even my husband. And I went against his instruction to be in the church. And I went against his instruction to give money, large sums of money to the church. Now, I'm saying this to you women. You have got to understand that your husband is paying the bills. And he is the one that is making sure that you have everything that you need in your life. You might not want to listen to him, But every once in a while, you got to sit down and listen to him. You got to sit down and listen to him and make things right at your home. If your husband chooses not to come to that church, if he chooses not to come to that church, and he does not want to be a part of it, and you argue and fuss with him and create frustration in your home, you are going to have to live with it. And I'm saying this to you because you are going to have to live with all of the dissension and problems in your home. Women, make your home peaceful. Set the record straight to your church and your pastor that you and your husband are going to have service at home. And you and your husband are going to break bread together first in your home. And then when you make things well in your home with your husband, he is in harmony with you, you're in harmony with him, then if you need to give that church some extra money, and if you need to make some extra donations to that school, he will be willing to support you and that church. But don't think that because he doesn't come to that church that he doesn't love you. And don't equate love with whether or not he comes to church with you. And don't say, oh, my husband don't love me. He won't come to church with me. Most of the time, women, let me tell you something. Most strong black men figure if there's another black man standing up there dictating to him, telling him what to do, that that lessens him as a man. And sometimes it's very hard for another man to take orders from another man. And they figured they could read the book of the Bible and guide their own family. So maybe us women have got to let these men guide our own family. And we've got to stop bringing him a counterfeit. If somebody else is doing his job, then guess what? He's going to do less of a job when you constantly have somebody else doing his job. And if he is constantly waiting for the church to do this job, guess what? He is not going to go to that church because he is in turmoil with you and the church. And you have got to understand that he is not going to let you continue to take money out of the household, and give it to the church if he is not in harmony with what the church is doing. Now, I want to say this to you women, that some of you are creating this animosity in your home and you don't even know it. You're creating this animosity because you are allowing the church and the husband and you to have enmity. That is why we see so many tore up families and so many tore up homes. I know what I'm talking about because my husband loved me so much once he went to church with me and joined in the church ministry to become an evangelist just because he wanted to be pleasing to me. He did this because he wanted to be pleasing to me, but the church and the pastor noticed that he wasn't called, and he pointed it out. But nevertheless, he wanted to be pleasing to me. You know what I did? I made sure whatever lessons I was learning, I preached them first to my household and to my man, so that he had direction for guiding my household, and I didn't depend on that church or that pastor to guide me. I was guided rightly first at home by my husband. And I'm saying to you women that those of you who are pulling out from up under your husband on account of he won't go to church, then you set up a ministry at home and include your husband in that ministry. And ask your husband and you to be a part of that ministry of directing families and giving prayer breakfast, and let him work with you at home outside of the church and watch how that man will rise to the level of occasion. He'll rise up because most men love the woman because she is the church. Now the cat's out of the hat. You're the church, woman. I don't know what you've been doing all this fussing about. You are the church. But what is happening to our church? And why is so much chaos going on in the black family? And why are outsiders viewing us as poor, morally enriched people? That is because the woman has gotten very confused about where her real church is, and she has put too much attention on the physical building of the church and build up the aesthetics of that building and let her house go down and let her home go without preaching and without teaching and sermons. You must first understand, women, that sometimes a woman is not ready to go outside of the home to do anything for a church building or for a preacher. She is obligated first to her husband, and she must go home and make sure that her home is endowed with the word, and as for me and my house, we should serve the Lord. All those things must go on in the home, and that husband must be feeling like he's the king and giving him the suggestion, woman, showing him the scriptures, and let him help lead you in the scriptures, and you lead the scriptures and the prayer and duality so that in your absence, your husband can continue to lead the family in prayer and guiding you in the right way to go, and your children. So why do you think we have so many problems and chaos in our schools right now? Because mothers are sending these children to school ill-equipped, and not prepared. They don't have the Beatitudes. They don't know the Word of God. They don't have character building. They don't have morally teaching, because the mother is so busy teaching outside of the home in somebody else's church, and she's not paying homage to the husband. So how do I know that the woman is a church, you say? If I took a survey right now in every one of the black churches that we went to visit, you would find that in the churches, mostly, predominantly, are all hats sitting in the church, paying their membership, keeping the church going. Well, if the woman stopped keeping up this racket, she could turn around her black communities overnight if she would go home first and hold up the edifice of her own individual home and begin to teach in her home. Her children would be better. Her men would come out of the streets and stop the black-on-black crime. He then would start loving his wife like the church. Then you would have real church. Then you would have no need for 51 churches on every corner, because we would be creating the church, first of all, in our home. Now, don't tell me I'm wrong, woman. Don't tell me I'm wrong, preacher. And elder and deacon, you know I'm right. You must first do unto the home first. The mother must first go home and teach and preach and be a mother to her family at home before she can be connected to any church saying, I love you with the love of the Lord. First, she's got to love her own husband with the love of the Lord and her children. And the way she loves them is by what she does for them and the time and practice she put into teaching them. But it's very vital that we understand that we cannot continue to say that we love our family if we have not put the time in with them and bringing them up to where they should be. It's very important that we understand that our families are not going to get any better by us attending all these services in church. By not attending all these services in church. They will do better when we become better. We have to become better. We cannot do better at home. We cannot do better in our churches until we start doing better in our home. We have got to do better in our home. Now, I'm saying this because we are leaving our men alone, and we're becoming aliens against our own black men. As society sets the record about the criminal background and statistics, and they quote these statistics to us about our black men, we stand up and act aliens as if we don't know them, as if they're outcasts. And we've created that outcast, women, because when we bring those men into our homes and act as if they're connected to a family and act as if we can be ministers to them first, then they will listen to us, because the men love us like the church. They love us like the church, and you become their God. When they see you living a lifestyle, acting out a part of what's righteous and rightly guided women, they will worship you like the church. Oh, but you say, I don't want them to worship me. But it was designed that way, that they were to love you like the church. Most men worship their women anyway, like they're the living church. If you find a good man that's living righteous, 9 times out of 10, he's looking at his woman and he's worshiping her as a living epistle. Now, if we do this, we would have better black men, less men in prison, and you would see them functioning like fathers at home and like husbands. And guess what? It might even empty out the churches, but it might be time, because all the churches are put there to do is to take you out to the highways and byways so that you can correct the problems of the street. Now, if your family is a part of the problems of the street and your children are out there and you're trying to pray them back in, then don't you think it would be worth it to first go to the home, to feed the homes a message, to prevent them from having to be subject to being out in the street so that the church won't have to deal with your family? It's very important, ladies, that we should understand one thing. We have been the church for a long time. The preachers didn't even tell us the truth. They whispered, oh, we don't want any women in the pulpit. Women are not allowed in the pulpit. And they whispered the same statement that Eve was the cause of all the sin. So they're winking their eye, telling you that you're not fit to be in the pulpit and that we're the cause and reason for all of the sin. But at the same time, you, woman, are the one that is keeping the churches going and keeping the tithes coming in and the activities and the worshiping and all of the programs going. Don't let anyone fool you. You must already know by now that without you, there's not going to be another program or another annual convention or another minister's anniversary. Without you, there's not going to be another convention or another retreat going on, because you are the one keeping the church going. So you have the upper hand, you say, Omi. Yes, you do. So why not make a deal with the preacher that he can't refuse? Tell the preacher that there is going to be many days out of the month where you'll be absent from the church because you will be conducting church in your own home and with your significant other and your children, and that you will be holding retreats for the family that's going to be led by the women in the community. Then hold your own church and show the pastor that you're quite capable of running a retreat in your own neighborhoods where the problems are affecting there, and you're able to do it successfully without a shepherd when you run your own retreat. Now then guess what? You're going to see the men come out that want to be a part of it, and they'll uphold their own communities, and they'll begin to lay down the laws of what should go on in their communities. And, Pastor, you will see them grow up with all of this information that you've been giving them. So let me ask you this, preachers. If you've been giving all these sermons and teachings, now some of them should have get home by now, and you should see a better community and a better group of black people out in the community. And why isn't this happening? Why do you have to keep preaching the same sermons over and over again, and you don't seem to see a change in the community? The community is the test of how well you're doing in teaching all these sermons. So why not let the little lady go home and teach sermons to her family and her man? Now, when she first convinced her man to become holy and saved and spiritual, don't think that includes joining the church, Pastor. He might not be ready to take orders from another man just yet, or you. So don't think him any less saved. And don't tell that woman that she is to push him and urge him into the church, because she just might lose him by pushing him in that direction. But we are very, very adamant about the fact that we want harmonious homes. We want loving husbands. We want husbands that will watch our lead and look at us and follow. We want husbands to look after righteous women. But when righteous women become so entangled in other men outside the church, and they have an eye for somebody else that's not their husband, then they become aloof, and they become wayward women. And then the man is in competition with his wife for the church. Women should never be in competition with her husband for the church, and the church should never interfere with the family life, and it should never affect what is going on in the home. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me stop right here. Our guests have not yet arrived, and she might be on the wrong time, but if we don't have her here today, we'll try to get her here next Sunday. But we are going to continue talking about what we need to do to change the church atmosphere. And you are the church women. So we first got to change ourselves. And if you never doubt another door of a church, start having church in your home. Start beginning to take up membership in your own home and make it a commitment. Sometimes we sign those walls and we become members, and we find out that we cannot carry out all those responsibilities because there are more responsibilities in our home, and we must first serve our home. I'm going to tell you this. I will pull my membership at any time when I see that I need to be at home. And I will do it politely because my obligation is first to the home. And people have to understand when they don't see you in a church building, that doesn't mean you're still not living harmoniously and rightly guided. You have got to be in order with what God says, and that is first to raise up a child that in the way that he should go and to be a husband or wife to your family members. So it's very vital that you should understand the question I ask again, what if the woman was the church? And we know the woman is the church. So because the woman is the church, what must she do? She must be a living Episcopal. And she must set the example for her husband so that he and her are in harmony together on one accord. She must not be in competition with that church and her husband. And pastors and preachers, you must not tempt her to be in competition with her husband. You must not put information out there that the man is out of order and that she is to leave her man because he's not in church. You must allow her to patiently guide her family and make her own decisions. And you are not to counsel her without her significant other or her husband being there in your presence, because she tends to think that you are gaining up on her husband and telling her what to do, and she wants to please you, then she follows you. But I see it not. I don't see any problem in the woman trying to have church in her own community by trying to bring all of the community together in harmony by doing prayer breakfasts and workshops with her husband and bringing the word. Long as she's bringing the word, then that's church. And if she's doing that in the community, you don't need to stop her and ask her, why weren't you in church last week? Or sending members to call her up on the phone and say, we didn't see you in church last Sunday. Woman, I want you to tell them this. I'm in church every Sunday when I'm servicing my community and my home. That is the first place of reference for my church. And you have got to explain to them that if your communities are going down and if your homes are falling apart, then church isn't doing you any good anyway. So you have to regroup and go back to those areas to focus in on those facilities that are not faring well. Now, why am I telling you this, women? I'm telling you this because we've got too many black men out there who cannot find good wives because they're all married to the church. I know they're out there because they want to be married. But we always talk about, oh, the man makes the woman go bad. I think it's the other way around. There are no women out there to service these men. So they go unto themselves and they go out in the street. But if a good woman was at home servicing that man and living a righteous life, don't you know that the man will come out the street and he will come home to a good woman, and a good woman can hold church right there in their home, and they first are true to themselves? But we cannot be true to ourselves when we're mounting up and lining up in these churches and wearing our hat and wearing our garments so that we can outdress and outpoke the Pope, it's important that you dress up for your man. Dress up on Friday nights or Saturday nights and let him take you out somewhere. Then you can wear all those garments. And then tell him where you want him to take you. And then on Sunday, you get your family together and you go home and let your husband preach a message to you, something that you can abide by and listen to and make the changes in your family. What good is it for you to get all these good lessons, women, and take them home, and nobody's abiding by any of the lessons? And don't tell me that they are, because, see, your husband is at odds with you. He don't want to hear nothing from the church, and you're not coming in there running his household with an outside gospel that he is not in agreement with. So once you get in agreement with him, you can pretty much bring any gospel you want in the home, because he loves you, woman. He first loves you. And you are the first line of command for the church. And if you really want to see the church acted out and lived out in the community, you must first be in line with your home and bringing the church to the home first. And then you'll see the real beauty of the church acted out in the community. We won't have to then look at buildings and say, oh, I wish those churches would just shut down. Why do they have so many churches that are doing nothing? And they're absolutely right. There are far too many buildings that are just sitting there vacant. Then maybe we ought to take those buildings and turn them into choice schools. Make schools out of them. But for them to just be open on Sunday occasionally throughout the week and not really providing a service for the community and giving the children a way of life, then we ought to understand that our first line of command is to have church at home. And when we begin to have our services at home and begin to bring the word and the rightly divide the word in front of our children and our husband, you don't have to worry about us asking them to go to church. They'll want to create their own church in their own home. But you cannot continue to go to these churches and begin to start asking why is my neighborhood going down? Why is my marriage failing when we don't want to become the church at home? We have got to see that first, and we have got to understand that. We've got to understand that our first line of command is the home and not inside of these buildings. We have lots of work to do, ladies. Let's pull our heads together and do it. And if you're in the chat room and you would like to speak on this, please type something in the chat room and give your opinion on it. If you want to call in to our show next week to talk to us about what can a woman do to begin to help her man so that he sees her as the church, because she is truly the living epistle of the church. What if the woman was truly the church? Then how would our black men really act? So I'm challenging you, black women. I'm not talking to all women. I'm talking to black women right now, because we're the ones that are heading these churches up, and our communities are failing. What if we were truly the church? Could we make a difference in our men's lives? Could we bring them out of the streets? Could we stop them from warring against one another? Could we stop them from black-on-black crime? I think we could. I think if we went out there and pleaded with our black men that we were going to be better women and came home to be a part of their life and be able to include them in our life, I would believe that they would come out of the streets and they would make peace with their brother. They would lay their guns down. They would stop the war against crime immediately, because they would put this crack and cocaine to rest. They would ship it out of this country, never to be seen in our communities again. They would take up warfare. They would stand like the watchman on the wall. If crack cocaine wanted to come into our community, they would hurl those people out of here. And those ships and planes that are coming over with the cocaine on it, they would stand ready, a watchman, waiting for them to come into this country. And they would prevent it from coming into this community, because we have harmonious families. If the black men knew that we were going to be true to our homes first, women, if they knew we went running up into some other man's church, making him and his family rich, they would then see our alliance we have with them. then you would see more relationships in harmony, and it wouldn't just be a man getting his check, handing it over to a woman, letting her take it all to the church and dress for the church, and he's sitting at home without anything. So guess what? He goes to the street. And when he goes to the street, he goes to the street and he hits it hard, and that becomes his family. We first must make a family out of our home. When we make a family out of our home, there will be no reason for our men to go to the street to do anything. But it's very important that we have to blame ourselves first. Well, we got all these radio hosts talking about how bad off our black families have become and our black people, and especially our black men. We got to take note. There is something wrong. There's something wrong with the family. And the first thing you do is put the family in order. And the family's out of order because the woman's out of order. She doesn't know her place anymore. She doesn't understand that God created her here to service her man if she's married. Now, if she's single, God assigned the single woman to the church and let the single woman go to the church to help dirt it up. But those married women, you go home and you start servicing your men at home. And I mean this. Because I had to take off my hat one day and lay it down in the church and go home and service my family because I was giving more money and time away to the church than I was to my family. And I saw the error, and I saw what was happening, and I saw the psychology. I had to turn it around. So I'm telling you, black women, to turn it around. And I know what I'm talking about is righteous and in order, preacher. So don't tell me I'm talking against the church. I am not talking against the church. I'm talking about how we can become a better people as a family. Our families have got to look at what is going wrong. And what is going wrong is there is no righteousness being preached in the home. There is no good sermon being taught in the home. The children would know a Bible lesson if they've seen it or heard it because they're not going to the Bible session at school, and mom is the only one going out to church. So why don't you tell her to go home? Why don't you just shut the door, preacher, and tell her to go home and preach that sermon at home first and teach that sermon to her man? Because the man knows the woman is the church. He loves the church so much. He loves the church, and don't tell me that he doesn't, because he loves his woman. And that is the first line of command for him to love his woman. And because he loves his woman, she'll have church at home, and he'll have church at home. And that's how we've got to do that, preacher. We've got to do that way so that the woman can begin to see that her first line of command is conduct service and order and righteous living in her home. And then a man gets the message. He begins to teach that word. He becomes a righteous man, and he can live righteously inside the community. And the deaths and the shootings will stop, and the gang wars will stop, and the cocaine and crack and heroin will be sent out of our community. I know this will happen. There's an order of things, and right now, women, we are out of order. We've got to get back in order. And preacher, you got to preach on this thing, and you got to talk about it. Even though your pulpits and your bleachers will be empty, but you'll have a better community, one that you can be proud of. So when someone outside our race challenges us about our character, our conduct, and our ethics, we'll be able to say that we know our community has gotten better, and we know that our community is carrying themselves morally and ethically because we are going to make some changes. We can make that change today. We can make that change, and I ask you women, just where is the church? And is the woman truly the church? Preacher, I ask you, is the woman truly the church? I would imagine you would tell me yes, because you cannot function without a good black woman in the church to help carry you on with your message and with the order of service. Let that woman go home, Pastor. Let her go home to her children, her wayward children, and her husband, who is desolate and needs her. Let her go home to create her church in the home so the man will love the woman again, because he truly loves the church. allow this to happen, and you will see a change. I know you will, and we're about to see that change, and we're going to make that change because it's in utmost urgency that we begin to start to see a change in our families and we see churches in the homes. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be back at